I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. This week on the podcast, I have my husband, Mike Murphy, here. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I'm grateful to have you here, and I'll get into the whys of you being here on the podcast in just a moment. First, I want to just give a quick blurb about how folks can connect with us here. I love hearing from people via email, and actually, oh man, I got some great emails about the podcast last week where I had Sandra Glahn on talking about Vindicating the Vixens. It's a great book that she's a general editor of. And I heard from some women and men as well saying, wow, where's this been? I haven't heard some of this new historical research on some of these female biblical characters. And that's what I love about being alive today. There's always some new research coming forward.
Yep.
And the way we look at scripture, you know, I think shifts and changes.
Yeah, and of course that scares the life out of some people.
Oh, I know. But it's, I love what I've learned and continue to learn about the Bible and in the Bible, et cetera. So sure. It shouldn't be frightening. I wish it wasn't frightening for some people.
Well, I think for some people, anything that strikes as new, they immediately go, oh, what's going to happen to my old truth? So they get pretty panicked about that.
Yeah. So I kind of got off track because what I was trying to do was to give the email address.
Okay.
And I should have printed out and read a couple of emails. I'm always saying I'm going to do that and I need to. But you know what? Here's the dealio. We've had big troubles with our internet, so I've not been able to print out and get stuff together. Yeah. So we're hopefully maybe going to get it fixed this week.
This week. I doubt tomorrow.
But. Yeah, but here's hoping. Anyway, I want to give the email address though, because every time a podcast goes out, I hear from a number of you and love hearing as well. Because it helps me in future podcasts. It kind of lets me know what you're thinking, if you're resonating with the kinds of podcasts that I have. So you can email me at faithconvo@gmail.com. faithconvo@gmail.com. And those of you who are asking about supporting Faith Conversations, simply go to PayPal, and the email address to use for that is producer@anitalustria.com.
Right.
Okay. So let's dive in to what we've been up to the past few days. We went away last week for several days. We were part of a conference that took place. You were the MC.
I was the MC for this conference, mm-hmm. and it reunited us with some old friends from Chicago that are involved in a very, very significant urban ministry there. We can say the name.
Yeah.
Breakthrough Urban Ministries. Mm-hmm. And I worked for them for 5.5 years. We supported them for a long time, and then they chose me to be the MC. I was just delighted, you know.
And before we get into some of our takeaways from this time away and with some of these folks, I want to hear from you. Mike, you just said it. You were with them for 5.5 years, and that is a ministry that's on the west side of Chicago,
right,
in one of maybe the most crime-ridden neighborhood in Chicago.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Right, East Garfield Park, one of them.
Yeah.
You know, you had always had a finger in, or off and on through your adult life, in urban ministry or in urban settings, certainly.
Yeah.
And a real heart for justice. And I mean, I don't think that's any news really to anyone. But how would you say those 5.5 years, especially there on the west side of Chicago ministering, changed you?
Well,
that's kind of a big question that I didn't tell you I was going to ask.
No, you didn't. Well, I think what it is you go into those kind of situations with open hands, and I think there's a conceit in all of us that says, like, you know, wait till I get there and what I can bring. I don't think I was like that completely, but yeah, there's a part of that in all of us. But then to go there and then just to put your ears on and you start hearing from people and you start learning from people, and you allow homeless people to teach you, or people that have far less education who have more wisdom to speak into your life. And you learn a lot about the realities of what it's like for people to live in an urban environment. And it's nothing like it's portrayed at times in our media or what politicians have to say. And it can be a real tough place unless there's beacons of light there.
Well, and I think we can even romanticize that kind of life. I think, or romanticize, meaning not that kind of life living on the margins, but our intersection with that life and what will happen, which is, I think, a little bit about what you were just alluding to.
Right. Well, we always think it's about us.
Yeah.
And in some ways it is. God wants to teach us mm-hmm. through that. Mm-hmm. And if we're lucky enough to build relationships, hopefully we can build some of the good stuff in our life and into theirs. But it's got to be a back and forth, you know, because the truth is the people that live in hard circumstances really know a lot about those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And they can teach us. And at the same time, we can bring some of our skills and resources to the table. To see, well, how could this work? But it's always in the spotlight of listening. You know, you always want to be listening.
It's a cooperative venture. You're not, racing in to be a rescuer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I think that's the mistaken way things happen sometimes.
Yes, especially you go into an African-American community. I'm not black, you know. I did not grow up black. I've studied these things. I've had a lot of black friends throughout the years, but I can't live that experience, but I can develop and cultivate relationships with people that can teach me all about it or teach me as much as I'm willing to learn.
How important is the development of those relationships and growing a diverse friendship base?
Well, I love it, and I know you love it. I mean, that the first night at dinner with just the staff that was there, it was about 25 of us, I think, and we were sitting around this big table in Florida outside, and I mean, we both thought that, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, with black people and white people and people of who knows what, sitting around a table together, getting to know one another. And just really exploring what the others have to offer, in this case, this particular experience, you know. Yeah. I was sitting next to a young woman, just a brilliant, brilliant singer. Oh, my. And it was just fun to get to know a little bit of her heart. And then as the MC, I didn't have any problem endorsing what she was going to do at all. I mean, it was just fun.
Yeah, she was amazing. A voice bigger than she was. And
oh, yeah,
a
she's
great
an itty-bitty
voice.
Thing. And boy, just wow. And then she worked with two guys that she had never met before. Yeah. You know,
that's when you know you're good. There are good musicians because
they come
they
in
mesh
and do it.
Together.
So it was just, you know, all this, when you blend talent together, everybody feels better about it. And then you bring a receptive audience. Mm. It's all good.
You know, one of the things that I thought about over the course of our days together there was the weight of a ministry in a difficult place, or the weariness that can set in when you're, you know, when it's a hard work, which I would call urban work often hard work, and I just. Really, I think I just wanted to be an encouragement as much as I could be to the staff. I think I really was feeling several things, not the least of which was realizing over the course of our time together how many years were represented there, how the longevity of people on staff, which always certainly says something wonderful about the organization, but it also says something wonderful about the hearts of the people who are engaged in the ministry.
Well, absolutely. You know, these are folks that just don't hope to make a difference. They believe God wants them to make a difference.
Yeah.
And to be there for the long haul. And as a result, they have seen themselves take some territory that maybe many thought could never be taken at all. And there's still a lot of work to do. So, yeah, I mean, who doesn't get encouraged by that? Mm-hmm. And of course, the crowd that was there were all supporters of this particular ministry. And they were all cheerleaders for it because they saw the results that they were getting. Mm-hmm. And they also saw the heartbreaks that they had to encounter.
Right.
And they saw the failures, and they didn't go like so many people do. Well, you're not 100% successful. They said, you know what? It's hard when it doesn't work. Yeah. Glad you're keeping on going. We're with you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, it really encouraged me because we're in a different phase of life at this different season of life. And so I think you always have to be asking the question, how effective can I be where I am today? Total shift in the geography of our lives, and how can we continue to live with purpose where we are in this shift? I mean, I think when you're with people like that, those questions get posed, and I think it's always good to relook at those things.
Well, I think it is. And, I wrote something today, and you don't even know I wrote this, but I riffed off something I heard, but I'm in the midst of writing something for my Friday Rumblings that I put on Facebook, and say, I wonder what we're going to say to people when they ask us, like our kids or grandkids or great-grandkids, where were you in the middle of the great cultural and political and social war of 2018? Tell me, Grandpa, how did you use your voice and how did you use your influence? Were you one of those that were cheering when the dreamers were shipped back to their home countries? Oof. Were you there when they dug the spade in the ground for the wall for Mexico? Were you part of all that? Were you there when the president, decided to pardon everybody that Robert Mueller said was, guilty? Where were you? Did you raise your voice? None of those things may come true. I see you just kind of grimacing and saying, oh my gosh, I know some of my listeners are going to go crazy here. But in some ways, I want them to go crazy because I want to ask them the question, what are you doing? Because if you don't see us in a crisis point, if you don't see the stakes in the ground, then we're in trouble. There was people in Breakthrough who saw that there was some trouble brewing in the inner city of Chicago, in the many inner cities of Chicago, and they believed that the people there had the answers, had a voice, and they said, "We're not going to lose this war."
That takes a real courage.
Well, it really does. And I think courage is the price. This is Amelia Earhart who said this. Courage is the price that life exacts for granting peace. And I am convinced that there's far too many people who call themselves people of faith that don't want to get involved, that don't want to speak up. They'll send thoughts and prayers. But I don't think they listen when God says, okay, I heard your thoughts and prayers. I want you to be the answer.
Yeah, I don't think we think about being the answer to our own prayers.
Yeah.
And God calls us often to be that.
I think we're in desperate times, and I think we have to listen very carefully to what God is calling us to be. And we saw examples of that. I mean, we saw incredible examples of people that have chosen to live their life among the poor this weekend. We also saw examples of people who do not live among the poor, but have made their giving to ministries that care about the poor a real priority. They have been given the gift to make money, and they're using it in incredible kind of ways, but they're making their voice heard, and they're crying over some of the stories. And do we do that anymore? Mm. Do we do that? Do we even see the marginalized? I told a story there this weekend. I just heard it, that somebody came up to one of the staff people and said, there's something different about your group. And the person said, what do you think's different about us? And the person said, this is the wait staff. This is the cleaning crew. This is the, these people.
Yeah, we were representing at a hotel, of course.
We're at a hotel. And he says, your group sees us, recognizes us.
Doesn't treat us like dirt.
doesn't treat us like dirt. And it was a nice hotel. So the, what they were basically saying, we get a lot of people come in here, maybe even a lot of church people, who don't recognize us, don't see us, don't ask us about ourselves or our families, won't even say thank you or please and or any of those kind of things.
And they don't were saying, attribute worth and dignity to a fellow bearer of the image of God.
Yes,
that's what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, the Imago Dei that's so present in our life. And that just struck me that this is the battle we are in. And sometimes we're just fine with people saying really nasty things about people who really matter to God, really matter to God, and not think anything of it. I mean, I have a thing about the dreamers. I just go, these poor young people. I've met a bunch of them.
Well, you used to work with some of them.
Yeah.
Back in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just met people and sat with them. And I don't want them to go back to their homes. I know they're here illegally. I believe in the law. But I also believe in compassion and biblical justice and mercy and grace and all those kind of good things. So I think what this weekend did is just stirred me up and just said, okay, Mike, where are you going to be in the midst of this cultural war in 2018? Are you just going to sit back and you're going to be a thoughts and prayers person? And I'm all for prayers, especially. I don't know what our thoughts do. You know, that just... You know, where do those go? But I believe God hears our prayer, but I think he wants to answer them. And I think he turns them right back to us and saying, you be my voice, you be my feet, you be my hands. And I want you to be my feet and hands and voice based on what I want you to do, not necessarily what you believe. And I think there's a big disconnect there sometimes.
That's good. I think you're right. I think you're right. Let's talk about some of the things that we heard.
Get away from any of this stuff.
Well, not necessarily, but just, you know, some takeaways.
Well, let me interview you for a minute and say, well, Anita, what did you hear?
Well, what's interesting when I go to these kinds of things, I hear some of the same things that you do, certainly. But I think it's fascinating because you and I operate differently because our personalities are very different.
I'm very introverted.
No, vice versa. No. Though I was pretty extroverted.
You were crazy. I mean, you
invited people to come down here for a weekend. And in my head, I was saying, at the same time I was inviting them, I was saying, I'm turning into Mike Murphy. Anyway, so... you know me, I love the one-on-one conversation.
Yes,
if I can get in a corner with one person and just talk and have a deep conversation, I'm happy. My introvert self is it comes alive and all that. But I think for me, one of the things that I appreciated, two things. One, it was a touch from our old roots in Chicago, and that was a real balm for my soul.
Yeah,
I'll
mine
say that.
Too.
Yeah. Meeting with old friends, et cetera, and making new friends. I think, and I'll say this on the podcast, something I didn't expect. I heard from all kinds of former Midday Connection listeners that happened to be at this weekend, and that surprised me.
Why did it surprise you?
I don't know. I guess, you know, that's a couple of years in the past, and I never cease to be amazed at how many people, it's very still in the forefront of their minds. And
yes.
A couple of people thought that it was just a, you know, we must have decided to go our own way. And that was fascinating conversation to have. They didn't know why the program ended or anything like that. But the biggest part of it was just a huge encouragement for the ministry that took place in the past that really is anything ever in the past if you've taken it to heart. It becomes part of you and it's... and so they were affirming to me that this previous ministry still goes on in the in the hearts and souls of those who listen.
Yeah, and you really needed to hear that.
Yeah, I sometimes you wonder why. Why do I need to hear that? I know it, but
well,
anyway, we need affirmation and encouragement,
because,
right?
Because sure, we're human, and
yeah,
you know, I don't know anybody that go, you know. I know coaches that coach kids, and all they are negative, negative, negative. Oh. I don't think it works all the time.
No.
No. And so we all want to hear that affirmation, because I think we all want to know that our life counts.
Yes, for sure.
For something.
Yes.
And honestly,
that's been a piece of our, quote, retirement. We're not retired. I hate that term. We're still working, but certainly there's been a slowing down, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we for sure want to, we want to live lives of purpose. And I think that's what you and I have been talking about and trying to move forward doing. And we're both, you know, obviously we're doing spiritual direction and a variety of things, Enneagram coaching and whatnot. But I think this weekend, anyway, was an affirmation of the past and an encouragement to keep pressing forward into the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's inspirational because I think we got to see people that are living into their passions.
Yes.
And we got to hear people from different states in life who are just kind of going for it.
Yeah.
And that just fuels me.
Yeah, totally. But I think one of the things that's interesting is when you've had a big job and one that where you did pour out your life because you were living out your passion and that goes away, sometimes you have a lot of questions about what's next and how do I continue to live into what ignites my heart how do you continue to live into that in a way that still fuels you and helps others right. in the process. So, you know, there's a figuring out along the way as well. I guess I want to say that.
Well, there is. And I think one of the things that we heard this weekend, we had the comedian Michael Jr. there. And Michael is really, really funny.
Yes.
And I feel honored that he trash talked me. I mean, that was great. After I introduced him, I felt, wow. I'm somebody now. But he said something in his comedy routine that he says, you got to figure out why. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you alive? Why are you doing it? Why are you? And that will inform the what that you do.
Yeah.
You know, that goes to purpose.
Yes.
That goes to giftings and things like that. Why? Why am I even here? And then you can kind of figure out what's going on. And I'm convinced that a lot of people don't wrestle with that purpose question.
I think you're right.
And if they do wrestle with it, it goes on for years and years and years. And there's part of me that just goes, no, it shouldn't go on that long. You know, it takes a while sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think if you live in that quagmire of, oh, what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? I don't think you're paying attention to all the signals that God's given you because it's, I think God is surprisingly talkative.
So one of the things that surprised me about Michael Jr., I thought it was going to be laughter, laughter, all the time laughter, and I was really looking forward to that. But he stops and has these serious zingers to which you just spoke of.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't expect that. I had not heard him before. I know you've heard him before at a Willow Creek Leadership, Global Leadership Summit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, man, he's more than just a comedian.
No, he's a deep guy.
That was really good. I was really surprised. And yeah, so that was kind of fun as well.
Well, it's somebody that knows how to use humor.
Yes.
To hit people's hearts and minds to get them to think about the deeper issues of life. And that's a rare gift.
You know,
he really knows how to go about doing it.
I agree. And he did. And it was interesting as we talked to people throughout our time together. His name kept coming up because it just sort of zinged a lot of us.
Oh, he had a whole lot of people like crazy.
Yeah. What else? Any other takeaways?
Well, I think one of the... I was really impressed with a guy that we met there. His name is Boise.
Oh, yes.
And Boise is a fascinating guy.
Boise Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Just Google him. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that grew up in Baltimore. Is a trained Shakespearean actor, is a great singer and whatnot, but a guy that's just really, really alive, and a guy that I, you know, and when I was talking to him, he takes risks.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, he got to play the part of Mufasa.
In The Lion King.
King in Germany. And I said, Boise, did you know German? And he says, I didn't know a word of German. And I said, well, how did you do that? He says, I had 30 days to learn the entire show.
In German. I mean, I know. You said that, but I have to repeat it.
In
wow.
German. And I went,
really?
I said, dude, I really like you. Can I use this word ballsy, you know, kind of step and saying, yeah, I'm going to do this because it sounds interesting and it sounds fun and it's a way to use my gifts. And he did it. I think he had just this huge run in Germany, you know, playing.
I think it was several years.
Several years doing this. And I thought, how many of us would pick up, learn another language, and then get on the stage where you're going to be critiqued all the time?
I think, didn't you ask him if he ever forgot or, you know, ran into any problems doing the show?
Oh, yeah. He says he remembers early on where, you know, he's new in the German and he was doing fine. And then one show, he just forgot it.
Just blanked out.
Forgot the next line, next word. And I said, well, what did you do? He says, well, I'm a Mufasa. I growled for a while.
And it came back to him.
And it came back to him.
He continued.
And I just loved it. And then I love the fact that here's this very accomplished actor and singer.
He splits his time between Los Angeles and New York currently.
And he came to this event, was touched by it, mm-hmm. and said, I want to stay for the rest of the weekend. And he did.
He did a one-man show for us, autobiographical. And exactly, he was going to fly out the next morning and decided he wanted to stay.
He wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Bonded with the other musicians. Mm-hmm. Became a part of them for a party that was held. And I just thought, this is the way the body of Christ needs to be. That we remain curious about this world that we live in. We grab onto it. When we see something, we ask if we can stay to keep learning, and then we contribute our gifts and talents to whatever is going on, and then something really beautiful develops as a result of that.
Mm. Anything else before we wrap up?
Wow, that was a lot.
Yeah, I know it was. I just have to say I was so, again, encouraged and impressed with the Breakthrough staff and the research and just their knowledge about what they're doing, and they've continued to grow and learn and have gone on for higher education so that they can serve better. And man, I walked away inspired.
And they're making a difference.
Huge
in a
difference.
Very, very,
very hard
neighborhood.
Place. Yeah.
And researchers are saying, yeah, you're on to whatever you're doing, you're on to it. Because mm-hmm. we had a researcher from the University of Chicago there, mm-hmm. and she was validating what it is they were doing and as a result of her research, giving them tools to show people, yes, we are on the right track mm-hmm. with this. This is all a very good thing. And I guess I want your listeners to know, wherever you are, there's places that are really making a difference, and they have to make a difference, because in this cultural world we're living in, political world, there's not going to be government money to fund everything.
Right.
But in order to do this, people are going to have to get on board and start giving themselves, because it's going to have to be a government, private sector, you know, partnership, you know, towards mm-hmm. violence and poverty and education issues and homelessness and all that other good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was our weekend.
Okay, I'm sorry for using a word like ballsy.
I know this is audio, not video. You didn't see me wincing more than once.
She was wincing a lot.
but I love you.
But I know, but Anita, I just want to tell your listeners, I really feel this deeply in my heart.
Oh, I know you do.
I think I'm tired of wimpy Christians. Mm. And I think I'm tired of Christians who aren't willing to do the work to learn what they need to learn. And I'm tired of Christians that only watch one TV station or one news show or only certain kinds of media. We got to get wiser than that. If we're going to be real people of faith, we got to do the job. And so maybe this is a little call to action, both for myself and you and whoever's listening out there.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, Mike writes, I'll call it a column for lack of something better. It's called The Friday Rumblings. Anyway, he posts every Friday on Facebook, 10 things. And you can friend either me or Mike on Facebook, and you'll be able to see it. I think our stuff is public anyway. You can find it out there.
My psychiatrist calls it therapy. Yeah. Yes. Still.
Funny.
I don't see a psychiatrist, but I would if I needed to. Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the deal. I hear you say this to people. It really is a spiritual discipline for you. And I know this because I live here with you. You'll send me Friday rumblings earlier in the week to look through and edit. When I mean edit, I don't change anything. I just edit for punctuation and whatnot. But you will write and rewrite over the course of a week. This takes a lot of time. You don't just kind of quickly, zip these off.
1,000 words takes about 10 hours.
Yeah, well, there you go. But for you, it is a spiritual discipline. I love hearing that. I appreciate that, and I get that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I feel compelled to write the things I do. I know, some people don't like it. That's all right.
Well, and here's the deal. You don't intend. Not everyone's going to agree with every one of the rumblings. Nothing wrong with that. You are calling people to be thoughtful, to spark their thinking and engage, whether they agree or disagree, to think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I had somebody actually say to me, sometimes I think you're just too angry about some things. But she says, I love what you're writing. Mm.
Yeah, and that was this weekend.
Yeah, and she said it in a little bit more earthy way, but it was good. I mean, she was really being encouraging in that.
Yeah.
And she said, it's good that you're able to say what's on your mind in a way that's not off-putting.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I took my podcast equipment to the event because I thought I would grab someone or two or three.
Well, there's like a million people.
I know, but here's the thing. I just looked at them and I thought, some of these folks are tired. They are serving all the time, and I'm going to get them on Skype another day and record with them down the road. I figured you and I could do a little recap and I would give them a break. Mm. And I took a break too during this.
Maybe you can get the guy that decided that he just needed to get more involved in the life of Jesus. This is a very influential guy. Went for a ride one day.
Oh, yes.
Didn't know where he was going. He just wanted to do something. Pulled into a Missionaries of Charity orphanage in New Jersey or someplace. And went to the door, knocked on the door, and none brought him in, and he started getting involved with
kids.
Said,
how can I help? And he started going every Saturday for several hours.
Yes. That he says, and then one day they said, we want to introduce you to the leader of our order. And it was Mother Teresa. And he spent the day with Mother Teresa.
You've got to love that story.
But I love the fact this is somebody that's got a big job, always has had big jobs. He's plenty busy. He said, I got to do something. God seems to be telling me I got to do something. So he got in his car and went looking, of all things.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
It just is a beautiful story.
And he and his wife are still doing that. They've moved since the New Jersey days and are somewhere else, but wherever they are serving, they are giving. Yeah. And that's just it. Wherever we are, it doesn't matter our capacity to serve and give.
No, it doesn't.
But we've got to be about that.
Yes, absolutely. So it was a good weekend. I'm glad we went.
Me too.
It was cool.
Me too. Thanks for coming on the podcast
and the food
with me.
It was really good.
That's true. Yeah, mostly because I wasn't cooking.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, thanks for being on the podcast.
No spam there. Yes.
Yeah, no, not at all. To everyone else, keep the conversation going.